Well, let us take up the worship of God again this evening. We'll begin with singing Psalm 98. Psalm 98, we find it on page 129. And we'll sing the first four stanzas, the verses marked 1 through to 3. I'll get things started. I'll endeavour to get a reasonable pitch. And the tune Denfield, Psalm 98, will sing a new song to the Lord for wonders he has done, his right hand and his holy arm, the victory have won. Let us tell forth the glory and wonder of our God. Psalm 98, let's stand to sing together.
Oh, sing a new song to the Lord, for wonders he has done. His right hand and his holy arm, the victory have won. The Lord declared his saving word, and made it to be known to all the nations of the world. His righteousness is shown. His steadfast love and faithfulness he has remembered well. The covenant
Song of your salvation, O Lord our God, the one who is due every service, and that we should walk humbly before you, as the one who rules in all this earth and in the heavens, but so much more as the one who has looked upon us in the disaster that we have brought upon ourselves, where we could so well have been cast off, but you provide a deliverance. You release us that we might be those creatures that you delight to join with, delight to have in fellowship with yourself. We give thanks, O Lord, that your works are made known to us, and that they are such, and this proclamation and the evidence of your works, the work of your salvation, is known by the nations of the earth. Even that very specific, that one single way that you have appointed, not of our deciding, or we would choose otherwise. But you have made a way, and that name of the Lord Jesus is known throughout the world. He is the one who is at the heart of history. And we give thanks, O Lord, that where he is known in general terms, he is increasingly known by individuals. That there are so many who are learning of him and of your work in him. We thank you, Lord, for this. We praise you. And we praise you especially because it is only your due. It is right and good that all men should know you as you are, revealed, made known in the face of our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, O Lord, that we too might be all the more ready ourselves to cast away the confusions of this world that do so easily entangle us, and to have a knowledge of the truth of our God, and that in this knowledge we would see light, that light upon our path in every way that we go. We pray that you would be with us each in our different needs and concerns, in our joys, that we might look on all of these things through the light of your word and of your truth and of your promises, through the light of the eternal realities that are assured us through the gift of your Son, having given him that he might give his life for us and take it again, that he should continue to rule on your right hand from heaven above. Hear us, we would pray, O Lord, as we would seek your face and seek to know you better, that your word will call us to a true understanding of you. Set your spirit before us on our paths this evening, and also beyond here into the days ahead. We commend our ways to you, Lord. Pray that you would receive us. Pray that you would receive our worship. Accept us as we would confess our sins, and do grant pardon and cleansing from all our iniquities, our trespasses. Forgive us, we pray, but that we might all the more serve you and honour you. For the sake of our Lord Jesus, as we ask all in his name and his name alone. Amen. Let us open our Bibles together to Psalm 103. And if we might read this psalm responsively. So if I read the first verse and every second verse, and then if you would answer with the alternate verses. Sometimes these psalms don't work precisely like that, the change of voice and so on, but this is in many ways is a psalm that is a call upon our own hearts to respond to the grace and the mercy of God towards us. So let me begin, and would you respond by reading every alternate or second verse. Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits.
Who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases.
Who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies.
Who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles.
The Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed.
He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel.
The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in mercy.
He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever.
He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities.
For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him.
As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us.
As a fit father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him.
For he knows our frame, he remembers that we are dust.
As for man, his days are like grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourishes.
For the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more.
But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children.
To such as keep his covenant, and to those who remember his commandments to do them.
The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all.
Bless the Lord, you his angels, who excel in strength, who do his word, heeding the voice of his word.
Bless the Lord, all you his hosts, you ministers of his, who do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. May God grant blessing as we do read his word. Further blessing. Would you also turn with me now, and I will read in the Paul's letter to the Ephesians and chapter 6. We've been reading in Ephesians and our continuing readings through the New Testament. And now we come to chapter 6 of Paul's letter to the Ephesians. And in the previous chapter, he had, in verse 21, spoken about submitting to one another in the fear of God. He began by speaking about husbands and wives, and now we take up this same theme in chapter 6, at least initially. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in sincerity of heart as to Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service, as to the Lord, and not to men, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is a slave or free. And you, masters, do the same things to them, giving up threatening, knowing that your own master also is in heaven, and there is no partiality with him. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. And for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. But that you also may know my affairs and how I am doing, Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will make all things known to you, whom I have sent to you for this very purpose, that you may know our affairs, and that he may comfort your hearts. Peace to the brethren, and love with faith, from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. Again, may God grant blessing as we read his word together. Let us turn for a moment again in prayer. Let us pray. O Lord, your own word has called us to be constant in prayer and supplication, especially attending to the needs of all the saints, the benefits that that brings for ourselves as part of the body of Christ Jesus, but mindful that we're not alone. We belong together, belong to one another. We are, as the Apostle spoke elsewhere, called into the bond of peace, the bond of love. We pray, O Lord, that we'll not be tempted to the mind of this world where it is the individual that seems to be so important, at least in our culture. But we will be sensitive rather to the needs of one another. That will be above all sensitive to the leading of our head, which is Christ. That we are not our own, but we belong to Him who has redeemed us with His own precious blood. And that this itself is the highest of privilege and the way of freedom. To this end, Lord, we're mindful too of many who, unknown to us and by name, but known to you, that you would purpose to bring into your church to be one with us. And for this reason, that as it was in the day of the Apostle, so too today the need for utterance to be given to all your people, to those who are given a particular task perhaps, but for a bold opening of mouth to make known that mystery of the gospel. And this need of boldness, as in the apostles' case, both Paul and Peter and John, who brought this to your people, to even though it was that boldness which imprisoned them, which prevented them from walking about in public, but yet that desire that there would be nothing to hold back, that speaking forth the truth concerning Christ Jesus, both for His glory and for the great need of man. So we pray for ourselves as a congregation, those that are joined with us in fellowship this evening, other fellowships elsewhere, commending them to you too for a faithfulness to your word and a vigor about its presentation, proclamation. Pray that you would provide those openings that are necessary, and that we would be ready to make use of them in your name, to make you known. Commend to you the various work that is brought before us in various ways to spread out the word and the gospel. We would continue to remember CWI and the work to reach the Jewish people, that ancient covenant people. And we pray, O Lord our God, that they will come to a place of response, an opening of heart, to acknowledge Christ Jesus, one of their own, that very one that you had promised as the Messiah. We ask, O God, for the work of the various churches and those that are connected with us. As we spoke this morning, we would also remember the folk in Peru and the churches there. We ask, Lord, for work. It may not be in the spoken word, but in the written word, as sometimes it's not possible to speak, but yet that words, printed work, can reach many people. Pray for radio ministry and other work that's done on the internet as well. We ask, Lord, that you would prosper these things, and that we'll see once more the evidence that your word is true, that nothing can resist, nothing can hold back the progress, the march of the great kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. We wonder, O Lord, at times why anyone would oppose it, because it is that way of light and of life, of opportunity, of hope and glory. And may more and more come to see that, O Lord our God. We pray that you will help us, and as we go about our various activities in this coming week, and that in these too we'll bear witness to you in word, but also in deed, and that in this we might be found equipped by your Spirit and worthy of the name of the Lord Jesus. But again, not so much for ourselves and our own blessing, though we rejoice, O Lord, that you do bless us richly, but that above all, our God will have the glory. Do receive us now, we pray, and speak with us afresh by your word, that we too might glory in you as we go on from here. And these things we pray, that you might hear us only through our Lord Jesus. In his name, amen. This evening I would like to take you to a few verses in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1. Verses that are fairly simply descriptive of the content, as the song of Mary, who was the mother of our Lord Jesus. Luke chapter 1, let me read this song first before we take a short look at it this evening. Luke chapter 1 from verse 46. Perhaps let me just go back and set the context. Remember, Mary had that angel visit her and announced that she would be give birth to the child. She didn't know any man, but it was the Holy Spirit that conceived the child in her womb. And then she went to visit her cousin Elizabeth, who had also was going to have a child in an exceptional way. She was of some age. She had not had any children, but the angel had come to her husband, the priest, Zechariah, to announce the birth, or the conception, and then eventually the birth of John, who was to be known as the Baptist. So really Jesus was a cousin of this John. And so in having gone to visit Elizabeth speaks with Mary, and then Mary makes this response from verse 46 of verse 46. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Saviour, for he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever." And this too is God's word. Mary's soul magnified the Lord, declares the greatness of the Lord. The way that we go about our praise of God is certainly fascinating. It's a very important subject. What are the terms that we do use or should use? But even more than that, what is it that draws praise out of us, out of our hearts and out of our lips? Hebrews 13 verse 15 refers to the sacrifice of praise, that is, the fruit of our lips. When you think about the sacrifice of praise, it's perhaps a reminder that praising someone else, praising God particularly, doesn't come readily to sinful men. It is something of almost a cost in it, described by that word. It shouldn't be that way, should it? But it can be. But he is most definitely worthy of the praise of men to receive it, the lips, the fruit of our hearts. We have the Psalms in the Bible, a great body of song material. And then folk will say, well, take Mary's song, or just a short while later, there's a prophecy, rather, not really a song as it's described here, but of Zechariah and a number of other references to songs in the New Testament. What about these? But what I want to just point out to you this evening at the moment is in this song of Mary, yes, it is set in, is written in our New Testament, but the more I look at it, and others like it, the more I see the continuity in Scripture, Old and New Testament, the continuity together. There's that great body of song material that we have in the Old Testament. And those who sing songs in the New draw very heavily on what you find in the Old. There's a great continuity between them. And that should be the case. How can there be any major difference in the praise of God, who is himself unchanging? So I want to look this evening very quickly at the character of Mary's song here. And to tie the two things together, I would talk about Mary's song, but also to talk about song in the Old Testament, put them together, and then very briefly at the end to touch on our song, when we've seen this here in the Gospel. Now, when you look at the Song of Mary, first of all, it's not straight lifted out of the Book of Psalms or any other song that you find in the Old Testament. It's not identical. There are phrases, and we'll look at those in just a moment. But the character and the wording, those phrases, they are strongly reminiscent of Old Testament Scripture. And the first little thing that I would remark on that is it would suggest that Mary herself was very familiar with those Old Testament Psalms. They were well embedded in her mind and in her heart. As far as we know, Mary was probably a very young woman, as would have been common for someone who was betrothed but not yet married at that stage, that part of culture. So, but even so, a very young woman, but yet these words were rolling around in her mind, that they came out at the moment. And I think that's something that is well worth remembering as we do read these words. And it's here especially, I think, that we see evidence of that. What I'm going to do just for a moment is to look through virtually every line and give you, I don't particularly expect you to follow them all through, and if you are interested, I can give you this outline later on. But just to pick up on those expressions that she uses and to show you where you find them all through the Psalms and in the Old Testament. Let me show you that my soul magnifies the Lord. First of all, well, perhaps you could even take Psalm 103 that we read together. O thou my soul, bless God the Lord. My soul magnifies the Lord, Psalm 34. We used that psalm this morning. And verse 2 says, my soul shall make its boast in the Lord. My soul magnifies the Lord. And into verse 3 of Psalm 34, O magnify the Lord with me. My soul magnifies the Lord. verse 47, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Saviour. Psalm 35, verse 9, my soul shall be joyful in the Lord, it shall rejoice in his salvation. For both of those, my soul magnifies the Lord and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Saviour, you might also remember the prophet Habakkuk. Chapter 3, verse 18, he's a prophet that talks about devastation, both sin and then the punishment of that sin. He talks about devastation, but he comes to this most incredibly remarkable conclusion to his prophecy. And he is saying, in an agricultural society, he says, even if there is absolutely no fruit on the grapevines, there is nothing in the field, there is no harvest, even the sheep and the cattle are all gone, they're dead, even if there is absolutely nothing left. And he says this, yet I will rejoice in the Lord, I will joy in the God of my salvation. I will rejoice in the Lord, I will magnify the Lord, my spirit has rejoiced in God my Saviour. It was the spirit that was being cultivated many, many years ago and recorded in the scriptures. Into verse 48, for he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. Psalm 138, verse 6, though the Lord is on high, yet he regards the lowly. He has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. Verse 49, he who is mighty has done great things for me. Psalm 71, verse 19. And when I give these references, they're not exhaustive, but they do give you an indication that virtually every line, every word that she says has its root back there in the old songs of praise to God. So it's verse 49, he who is mighty has done great things for me. Psalm 71, verse 19, your righteousness, O God, is very high, you who have done great things. Psalm 126, verse 2, then they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are glad. The Lord has done great things for us. And holy is his name. Psalm 111, verse 9. Holy and awesome is his name. Then to verse 50. His mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. Does anyone remember where we hear those words very much like that? We read them virtually every second week. In the commandments, where it tells us not to have any graven image, carved image, not to bow down and worship them. And it says there's something quite fearful. It says he's a jealous God and he punishes the iniquities on generations. But, it says, he shows mercy to thousands, to those who keep his covenants, his commandments rather. His mercy is on those who fear him. Psalm 34, verses 6 and 7. Again, we sang that this morning. The Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands. And we did read it too in Psalm 103, verse 17. The mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children. Mercy from generation to generation. Verse 51, he has shown strength with his arm. We sang Psalm 98, his right arm has gained the victory. Psalm 118, verse 15, the right hand of the Lord does valiantly. Isaiah 40, verse 10, behold, the Lord God shall come with a strong hand. And in contrast to that, he has shown strength with his arm, and the strength, part of that strength, the work of his arm, is to scatter the proud in the imagination of their hearts. You might take Psalm 138 verse 6 again. The proud he knows from afar. Or Psalm 33 verse 10. The Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. Verse 52, he has put down the mighty from their thrones, taken the mighty down and exalted the lowly. And you might recall another mother who had longed for a child and prayed when she received the child. It was Hannah, the mother of Samuel. And she says in her prayer, the Lord makes poor and makes rich. He brings low and lifts up. And Mary says, he has brought down the mighty and exalted the lowly. 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 7. 53, he has filled the hungry with good things. Psalm 146 verse 7. He executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. You'll see something similar in Psalm 107, verse 9. She goes on, and in contrast, it's a similar kind of, you get this in Hebrew poetry, you get a similar kind of expression, but with different words. In the second part of verse 53, the rich he has sent away empty. Proverbs 11:28, he who trusts in his riches will fall. We're almost to the end of this song, verse 54, he has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. Now we need to notice this, because she's not just talking about me. She has done earlier, but she doesn't just talk about me. She talks here about Israel, his servant Israel. Isaiah 41 verse 8, you, Israel, are my servant. You are my servant. I have chosen you and have not cast you away. In remembrance of his mercy. Psalm 98:3, again, where we sang, he has remembered his mercy and his faithfulness to the house of Israel. And then the closing lines, verse 55. But that carries on from 54, so he has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever. And Genesis 17 is the promises, the great covenant promises of God to Abraham and to his seed. And we might take Psalm 132, verse 11. The Lord has sworn in truth to David, he will not turn from it. He brings out what he has promised, what he has spoken to our fathers. He brings it out and applies, helping his servant Israel. Now, I commented that she's now talking about Israel. She makes reference to the fathers, and we've just seen one of the fathers to whom God did make covenant was David. And that might give us a clue that Mary was gaining some understanding of who this child was that she was carrying, that he would be the promised one who was to come from the line of David. If she knew her Psalms as well as she appears to have done, Psalms and the prophets, it ought not to be a surprise that she was coming to understand who this was, that he was to be truly the Saviour of his people. There are other passages that we read as you go on through the Gospels where someone says something and it tells us that Mary absorbed that. She didn't comment, she didn't respond, but she took it into her heart, she dwelt on it. These things were developing her understanding of who this was. So that's a very quick look at something of the character of what she's saying. I want you just to remember too where Mary was in her life. What is it that calls this psalm forth from her? Remember the position she was in. She was not yet married. She was going to have a child. It was a pretty desperate and compromised position in her society. But she seems to have been getting beyond that. She was in a unique situation, even greater than that. How society would look on her. How was God looking on her? That's what she's coming back to. How God has been at work in regarding her. Verse 48. And giving her such a place of blessing to bear this child. But remember, there's nothing to could prepare her for this. Truly unique situation. It had never happened before. It would never happen again. She was in a unique position. And this is what she comes out with. She acknowledged when the angel came and spoke, she was afraid. She had a few questions to ask. But then she acknowledged, "Let it be as the Lord has determined." And now she's praising God because of it. She counts herself in a tremendously blessed position, tremendous privilege. She knows that she's nothing in the eyes of the world. She's just a young woman. But she can see how God has put his eye upon her, his hand upon her, for a great purpose, and she regards herself as blessed. I can't help wondering myself as I read through Luke's account here, immediately before this, Mary goes and meets with Elizabeth, and I wonder if it's partly for a sense of moral support and so on, as we call it. But this seems to come out of that little time of fellowship and support from her cousin. Maybe Elizabeth bore witness to the impact of Mary's visit. Elizabeth had John, that she was expecting John, and she says that the baby in her womb jumped when Mary and the baby Jesus came to them. She gave witness, and perhaps that was a further encouragement to help to settle Mary's mind. But she shows a tremendous strength of spirit in response to this remarkable situation that she found herself in, that God had purposed for her. I think the other thing that I would say from this, and the great note of this psalm, if we can call it that, is the note of humility and also of confidence. She knows. She's very clear on her own position, that she herself is lowly. That doesn't change. But she acknowledges that God has done great things. It's all about God and his great works, not making her a great person. And those various other occasions that I've referred to already are all indications of how she's someone who has learnt to humble herself in the will of God. That's where such a psalm comes from. And that is what we should be singing above all, is that God is great. And yes, if he condescends and is pleased to look down to me and do great things for me and through me, so be it, but let the praise be his. That's what she gives to us, a song of this great humility and confidence. Now tie the two things together for a moment. A song of humility and confidence and a song of the Old Testament. That's what you find in the Old Testament. That's what is recorded. That is our guide for the truth in our worship before God. That's what the Old Testament saints have shown us. She understood that. That's what she relied on. That very same spirit. Our song. What about our song? There's Mary's song, which is largely an Old Testament song. What about our song? No, I don't necessarily mean that it is Old Testament. We are New Testament people. But the very character of our praise. The Old Testament is no different. Mary certainly made use of it as something that should be primary in all of our song, all of our praise, that it's the Lord who is to be magnified. We're to rejoice in Him. Yes, He is my Saviour, but let His name have the praise. Isn't that the character of what she has to say here? He's done it, He's done it, He's done it, He's done it, He's done it. I want to tell you about Him. Hebrews chapter 11. Many of us find great value there. Do we notice what happens in Hebrews chapter 11? We are in the New Testament age. But every one of those people that's mentioned there is an Old Testament saint, demonstrating to us the life of faith. To encourage New Testament saints to continue to be faithful. And there's something similar to that here, I think. But Mary says, let it be done as the Lord wills, and to Him be the praise. As it was with these Old Testament writers. That's how they saw it. Of course, we know the history of the Old Testament, and it was very erratic. It was up and down. There were many occasions and many people who didn't see it that way. But the truth that is laid before us is that that is how we must walk before our God. We've just begun looking very briefly at Micah in our monthly Bible studies, and it's in Micah that we see, amongst other things, that one of the things that God requires of us, which we should know, Micah chapter 6 verse 8, is that you walk humbly with your God. There's two other things. One about how we treat our fellow man. How we respond to God is simply to walk humbly with Him. And that's what those Old Testament men and women, that Mary summarizes them, as it were. She brings them, gathers them all together and says, this is right for me, because that's the way I've been taught. That's the right spirit that I should have in responding to this most remarkable work of God through her. Those men and women of the Old Testament, they're great teachers of humility. Great teachers that it is all of God and His mercy and His grace. That most demanding role that Mary had, she appears to have learned that His grace is sufficient for him, for it. Our song? Well, let's not lose the great spirit of the Old Testament songs, the truth that is there in God's Word. Great guide for us as to how we ourselves are to approach our God, acknowledge Him, our standing before Him, to walk humbly with Him, and to lift up His grace, lift up His name, that we too might magnify Him, declare the greatness of the Lord. For this evening, I'll just go so far. May God bless His word to us. Together. We'll now pray together. Let's pray. May our prayers and our worship, the very thoughts of our hearts, O Lord, be acceptable before You. That these things will not be of ourselves, as You are the one whose name is above all names, and that our great desire in life will be to cultivate that spirit, to look on all things as how they bear witness to you as the Almighty, as the one who is so abundant in mercy. And so we pray that you would be our keeper as we go on from here, that in every condition and circumstance that we deal with, that we too might be caused to think upon you. And that our plea will not be that you simply that you would bless us, because that is the very nature of your heart towards us, that your thoughts are good and not evil, but that you would keep us in that path of blessing. That you would keep us in that path of your service, desiring to be filled in our own lives and spirit by devoting ourselves to glorifying our God. And Lord, we don't know what is before us. How much more then that we commend ourselves to you as the one who does great things, who does remember mercy, but that we should walk humbly, that we should walk with the true fear of God and delight to serve you. Do receive us now, we pray, and in this once more we ask for the pardon of sin, and in all things that the glory will be yours and belong to this, the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, in whom we pray. Amen. Well, we'll turn in closing to Psalm 131. Again, to sing a very short psalm, Psalm 131 on page 173. My heart's not proud, O Lord, nor haughty is my eye. I do not occupy myself with things too great or high. Let's stand to sing and then receive the blessing of the Lord after that.
My heart's not proud, O Lord, nor haughty is my eye. I do not occupy myself with things too great or high. My spirit I have calmed, my heart is passing by, my soul is
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.